The FIR Podcast Network presents Amp Up Your Social Media, an audio podcast that brings you insights and ideas from the leading practitioners of social media marketing.
Amp Up Your Social Media is sponsored by GaggleAmp. Empower your employees, partners, and resellers to share your social media messages. And by SafeLinks. SafeLinks automatically tells you when links you put into social media go bad, so you can take action.
Here's your host, Glenn Gaudette.
Welcome back to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media. My name is Glenn Gaudette, and today I'm with Krishna Day. Krishna, welcome to the show.
Delighted to be with you, Glenn.
Krishna, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do.
Well, I'm based in Ireland, just in the area of South Dublin. And I work with large organizations, really around educating and mentoring their marketing, their HR, their communications professionals around using and integrating digital communications as part of their communications plan. So that could be anything from external marketing through to employee engagement. And I also do some teaching, lecturing on the topic as well.
So how did you first get involved in social media? Because I'm assuming you were probably doing communications prior to your involvement in social media. Is that correct?
Most of my career, I was a senior vice president of HR for a FTSE 100 company. And that's what brought me to Ireland in 2000. And prior to that, I was in Asia and North America and back in Europe. And so most of my career had been around strategy, business development, and HR and employee communication. So that was my real interest. But actually, I started my own business in 2005. To your question, though, about when I started to use social media, inside my previous role and also as an individual, that goes back to about 2003, 2004, though we wouldn't have called it social media then. We might have called it new media.
Right, yeah.
And then when I set up my own business in 2005, I actually started to use blogs, podcasts, online video at that stage to help promote my own small business. And that comes down to the fact of my name. My name, many people say, oh, that's very unusual. It's only unusual in certain parts of the world. And what I realize is when you have a calling card from a large company, people will easily find you. But when you're a small business and you're out there, and even back then, people weren't going to go through probably 30 pages of the Hindu god online, who was there. He was online really in a big way before I was. So nobody's going to go look for him. And I'm not a Hindu. I'm not male. I'm certainly not a god. And so I realized I needed to be found online. And that's why I started to do it. And roll forward, you know, a little way, probably 6 months to a year after me starting that, people started to ask me, what is it you're doing? How do you do it? And can you show us? So I didn't anticipate a career doing what I'm doing now, but it all came from me recognizing I needed to be more visible. So that's another area of my interest and passion. You'd mentioned about when we were talking before about visibility. Visibility and online reputation usually gets wrapped into the content that I do too.
Now, one of the things that was really interesting when we talked prior to the show is you mentioned you're doing a lot now with Google Hangouts. And tell us a little bit about that, because I think some people might be aware of it, but and usage-wise, I don't see the amount of adoption that I see in other aspects of social media.
Well, yes, Google gets a bit of a rap, hard rap, doesn't it, in terms of having a social network. And you and I are connected on Google Plus because of the network for the podcast. And I realize that not everybody's on Google Plus. But Google Hangouts certainly has been around since 2012. That was the first time I participated in them. But really, in the most simplest way I can explain it, it allows, let's talk about the free version first. They allow for free broadcasting in terms of live streaming of content. And that content, because Google Hangouts are connected to your organization's YouTube channel, or it could be as an individual, your individual YouTube channel. And that means that broadcast, it's the live stream, can be therefore embedded if you wish to, if you want to make it public. It can be embedded on your website. It could be embedded on your Facebook page. It could be watched on YouTube. It could be watched basically anywhere you can take that embed code or the link. And then what is the great thing is that it immediately gets replayed and is available, I should say, for replay on YouTube. You can decide to make that public or private after the event, just as you can in terms of before the event. Do you want that to be public or private? So it's been used by many different organizations in different ways, and we'll talk about some of those. And so I started to, you know, first look at them back in 2012. I think the first one, because here in Ireland, we have a lot of large organizations, including Google themselves, are based in Dublin. We're very fortunate to have those organizations here. And so we had a presidential election that was taking place. That's the first one I remember coming across. But the first one I participated in was actually also in the Google offices, where I had the opportunity to be part of that event, that live chat, and we were connecting to people, both in terms of in journalists, in fact, in the US and also in the UK. And I have to say, I have talked about it. I've mentioned it in all my speaking and events. And I am probably no different to many of the people who are listening today and yourself, Glenn, that, you know, perhaps we use Skype and we might use various webinar platforms and other voice platforms. It's like, why would I be interested in this? But when I started to see that it was getting some traction, and they'd got some further developments, particularly through 2013, I've kind of really done a bit of a deep dive into them, really have been using them myself, but also curating examples of organizations using them. I'm not suggesting we should forget the other platforms we use, but it's a really helpful tool for us to be using as communicators.
So from my understanding, from personal use, it's been, you know, kind of the equivalent to, say, a Skype, right? You can get one or a couple of people on. You can do the video chat. It's got some great features within that. But you're talking about really taking it to a whole nother level. So can you give some examples about other use cases besides the one I just described?
Okay, so as we have a lot of people who are listening who are in communications, let's take one that I actually heard recently, and I've got many others I'll touch on as well for you. But one was actually using Hangouts. In fact, in this particular case, we didn't actually broadcast live, but we used it as you might do for other meetings. So we actually were judging awards actually for the Public Relations Institute of Ireland. And one of the people who's participating lives 4 hours away. So we all sat around the table and we had the computer and the desk, and we actually did the judging of the awards with him actually sat through the computer on the desk. So that would be a private event that happened. Let's take some other events which might be public organizations or kind of large organizations using it. So Cadbury's, as you probably are aware, as a brand, certainly in the UK, has been very proactive in terms of using Google Plus. And in that particular case, they've done things like engaging bloggers around food blogging. So they had a really interesting campaign, particularly around Easter time this year. And they were looking to obviously promote and get more share of throat, should we say, of their Cadbury's cream eggs. And they actually had an interaction actually on their community on Google Plus, but they also invited some of their bloggers, the food bloggers or individuals who've been posting recipes, don't have to be just a blogger, to participate in a Google Hangout with one of their key chefs, who then replicated their winning recipes as part of, it was actually how do you use Cadbury's cream eggs as part of your baking. And in fact, that I actually wrote that up as a case study because it gave them great traction and extended life of that campaign. Let's look at a bank that's here in Ireland. You might say, well, financial services, regulated industry, how on earth would they use them? Well, they actually had one. There's a particular bank here in Ireland. They had their first ever Google Hangout in June this year. Very niche in terms of their content. But one of the reasons they were doing is because we haven't had such a great time in Ireland in terms of the economy and the situation in terms of banking. They've got to look at their costs. So one of the fundamental reasons that they decided to do it is that actually it took the, you know, the cost out of hosting effectively a webinar. Very niche content, all about content for new home buyers. Definitely took them some time to get agreement from a compliance perspective internally in their organization. But then they decided that they do that. And again, got them some really terrific results. Let's look at an insurance company in the US who are using it where you might have breakfast meetings. You probably have those where, or evening meetings where an organization sponsors an event. Well, they've been doing that sponsoring not only in person, but they've live streamed it. Let's take a conference that was taking place. Actually, some of your listeners may be aware of it, called Social Fresh. It was happening in the US, but they also very generously live broadcast it using effectively a Google Hangout, which was on their website. So yes, people are turned up and obviously have the benefit of networking in person, but they also very generously shared that content. So they're just a few examples. I've seen sports organizations use them, fashion organizations, really almost every sector. I heard of one, I didn't get participate in it myself, was in terms of Google Glass and medicine. And again, you know, could be everything from medics to, banking and finance, through to crafts. So I know people who are craftspeople. I know people who are cooks. Really the things that you might do on a webinar. But one of the benefits is the fact of the live stream. And of course, a lot of people really like the fact of, on a webinar, very often you might be sharing slides, and this allows you to show the people who are participating. And also you can, as you mentioned, have people join you. So in fact, Skype, as you know, recently changed the number of people that can participate on a Skype event in terms of the free service from Google Hangouts is 10 people. If you're a Google Apps, so an enterprise user of Google products, then you actually have a different number of people you can bring in to a live conversation.
So in that live conversation, what's the experience like for somebody who is just watching? So am I seeing just a series of headshots for people side by side? How does it occur to the average person who just shows up and wants to watch this thing?
Well, you know, I have to say that it also depends on what does the host want to do, the person who's organizing it. And this comes back down to production values. Let's talk about you're doing a podcast. There's lots of different ways that you can get quality audio for your podcast. And some podcasts, as you know, we will tune into very quickly and tune out very quickly.
Yes, absolutely.
Because of the production values.
Right.
So I have to kind of put that caveat around it. So, for example, I've been doing a series of Hangouts. One of my passions is visual content marketing. And in my series, what I would often start with, I might start with an image at the beginning, because that can immediately be there in terms of if I want on the replay. And then I'll come into me. So I'd be full screen. Now, there are additional tools you can use. Let's say call them pro tools that are available that we could use to actually have much more complex interactions. So you could have two or three people, or you could have kind of content and an image on there. That takes up more bandwidth, and not everybody's doing that. But at its most basic level, it would be perhaps a screenshot or a slide. It would be then to the person. And what you can do, if whoever's the person who's managing the production of it, can then choose, do they want who they want as the guests to come up? So perhaps you might have a show that's going on, and you've got, like you said, let's say a TV chat show, and you bring the first guest in, and you probably see them and they're sitting on the sofa. And then the next thing you do is you bring the next guest in, and the two guests sit on the sofa with the host. You could do that. You could just reveal the people as they come along, or other people leave. You know, if you've got six people there, they're all little, they call it the film strip. It's little avatars you'd see of them. So if they're sitting there drinking a coffee or they're scratching their head, all of that is going to be seen, dependent on the show. So again, it's all about production values there.
And what about recording?
You don't have to do anything, because it's all recorded for you. It all goes immediately over to YouTube. So as soon as the show happens, now there are occasionally some glitches in it, but as soon as the show has happened, if let's say you were doing a public broadcast and anybody could come, so you could do this podcast. I know some people who record their podcast through a Google Hangout and repurpose that content as an audio, and also take the video and actually have that as a video podcast. So just in terms of that recording, you don't have to do anything, because it's all done for you. So as soon as you finish that show, and there's a thing called the green room. It's like you're in a TV studio, so where you can chat and be comfortable about what you're going to be talking about. And then after the show, what typically happens is you'd stay in the chat to say, how is that? Did everything go well? Etc. And then once you've kind of hung up your event or you've closed off your event, the rebroadcast is there. So the person who is the host of the show, who's got it connected between the YouTube and the Google Plus accounts, they can go in there and they can download the video. So now you could download the video, you could chop it up into smaller portions, you can extract the audio. And that's what a lot of podcasters are starting to do. They might be doing a podcast live with an audience. And in fact, one of the things you can do is therefore, just like you could with a webinar, take people's feedback and integrate the feedback of the audience. We see mainstream TV and radio shows doing a lot of that these days. Well, it's the same approach. We can take that content, should we wish to, and bring that into part of the show. And then, as I said, the audios and the video would be available. So you'd have to do a little bit of stripping out of your audio from your MP4 from the video player, but it's there for you to be able to. And that, I think, is why a lot of people are finding it helpful, because I know with my webinar platform, I can get a recording, but I now have to do some things and manipulate it before I actually have something that I can easily put up online and host. And typically I'm going to host it, or I'm going to put it with a third party to host it. So all of that's done for us.
Oh, that is nice. And one of the other things that I'm assuming, like with a lot of things with Google, you tend to get pretty good SEO juice for any content that you do through this. Is that correct?
Well, you have to optimize it so that all the things you know about optimizing your content online, that applies for all social media platforms, and clearly it applies for your video content in terms of that's going to be coming out of your event. So yes, optimize your event if you're going to do it that way, or optimize your video, because you can set hangups up from within Google Plus, or you can set them Google hangouts up from directly within YouTube. So different ways you can do it. But yes, when you're setting it up, optimize it. And one of the things that's been quite exciting, I haven't seen it myself yet, but that's because probably, maybe the searches I've done, or I'm sitting in Ireland and there's not too many hangouts that are happening at this point in time, but they're actually now, they're coming up in search results. So if you do the right things, you actually can be also, should somebody happen to be searching, you know, you've got to market all of the things that you're doing in terms of your content, but people could come across your content and that is now appearing in search results. But absolutely, the YouTube content that you're creating is actually, you just can go back and tweak that and optimize it. And then, of course, if you're going to embed that in your website, then there's further things you can do, just as you might do on your podcast, put your show notes there. And of course, with video, you can do video sitemaps again, which might get you some more visibility. So if you do the right things, it's not just because it's on YouTube, it works. You've got to do the other things behind it.
Yes, that's right.
Don't say, I've got a blog, therefore it's going to be search engine friendly. No. You've got to have other things that happen to make sure your content gets found.
You still have to put your marketing hat on. Yes, absolutely. Yes. So Krishna, if there's one thing that our listeners could be doing and really put into action today to really have an impact on their social media marketing, what would that be?
Okay, I'd like to extend that question into, can I give you two things?
Sure.
Is that all right?
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay. Okay, because I just want to just mention a recent development that's happened within Hangouts, which I think is important. They've recently developed a new part of the application where now if we want to, it's called the Showcase app, and I'll give a link later on about how people can find out more about these kind of case studies. But on the Showcase app, it means that if you want to, you could now host an event and you could have a call to action. And let's say you were a nonprofit. Maybe through the conversation, you actually want to call for volunteers or donations. You can actually have a link that comes up when that video is playing, and it doesn't matter where that video is, that people can then go click and straight through to your site. Let's say you were an author and you've published a book and you've got a free chapter of the book to give away. Perhaps, in fact, I know you do that on some of your podcasts. So you could actually be saying, oh, tell people how to get a hold of your book. And so you could have a link over to Amazon and you could have a link to where people can download the free chapter. If you're a business to business organization, perhaps you've got an event that's going on and you're going to promote that. You could be sharing people that information. So it's called the Showcase app. So I just want people to know about that because it's a really exciting development. And of course, it could be used for e-commerce. And we're already seeing organizations use it, including sports organizations selling tickets. In fact, those people who are listening, who are fans of European football, there was a Fox News in the US hosted an event with somebody from Manchester United and from AS Roma, and they were promoting the tickets that were being sold, and they also had fans participate in that event from across the world.
That's fascinating.
So I'd say in terms of my two-part answer, one is don't ignore Google Plus. right? So there's exciting developments that are going on. I am not saying that actually Google Hangouts is right for all of us. I will still use the other tools I have. I will do whatever's right for my clients. It could be a phone call. It could be Skype. It could be a webinar or another online meeting. And it equally could be using Google Hangouts. But I'd say please don't dismiss it, particularly as Google Hangouts is part of the YouTube Google family and all of that, you know, online, being found online still matters. And there's lots of ways we can do it. But let's just say Google's not going anywhere. So particularly if you're in the business of being very serious around your digital communications and social media, those people who are very advanced, I'm really encouraging them to take a look very seriously at Google Plus, certainly, I'd say, in the next 90 days. You know, you need to be moving forward on that. And there's still too few organizations who've really got to grips with it.
And Krishna, how can people get a hold of you?
Okay, so my name is a little different to spell, but it's Krishna Day, and Day spelled D-E. You'll find me in many places, on most social networks, on Google+, on my website, krishnaday.com. But I'd like to invite people, if they want to know more about the case studies that we've talked about today, there's a web domain that just points to a page on my website where you can find all the details. Go to the bottom of that page and you'll find a link through to all of the case studies and more that we've talked about if you're interested in Google Hangouts. And the URL is masteringhangouts.com.
Wonderful. Krishna, thank you so much for sharing this information with us, and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much, and keep doing great shows. I really enjoy listening to them, Glenn.
Thank you. Very much appreciated. And thank all of you for listening to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media.
You've been listening to Amp Up Your Social Media on the FIR Podcast Network, brought to you in association with Lawrence Reagan Communications, serving communicators worldwide for more than 35 years. You'll find more information at www.reagan.com. That's R-A-G-A-N. Amp Up Your Social Media is a podcast about how to get the most out of social media, hosted by Glenn Gaudette of Gaggle Amp. Amp Up Your Social Media is part of the FIR Podcast Network, a series of business podcasts founded by Neville Hobson and Shel Holtz. The anchor podcast is the Hobson and Holtz Report, a weekly show presented since January 2005. For more information about FIR, to see show notes for the podcasts, and to subscribe, visit www.forimmediaterelease.biz. You can also subscribe via iTunes and other podcast directories. We welcome your comments about Amp Up Your Social Media. Join the conversation in the FIR community on Google+. Look for the FIR Podcast Community or email us at FIRcomments@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.